Morning. Today we take a break from 1 Peter, another break, and a lot of breaks from 1 Peter, and we want to speak on a sermon entitled A Better Reflection, and it's a message by special request. One of the members of the church asked me about this message. So I am preaching about it. So if at any time you have a question or a request for a sermon, let me know, and maybe it can become a sermon. And maybe it can't. You know, maybe I say, I don't know. You know. Now, the book of Hebrews, at least 12 times, is the book of better things. By the way, our text today is Hebrews 7, our main text. And everything is better in Christ. Amen? Everything is better in Christ. He is better than angels. He brought a better covenant than the old covenant. He has brought a better hope, promises, a better possession, a better provision. He has provided a better country, which is heaven. Amen? That's a better. I mean, this country is good. It's the best in this world, but heaven. The Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. See? One that I'm waiting for. Some people are waiting for November for the election and things are going to get. That's good. You can wait for all of that. But Jesus Christ to come from heaven and take me home. That's the one that I'm waiting for. He has also provided a better resurrection. Now, among all these better things, we find the strange character of Melchizedek. And that's the question that they asked me. Who is Melchizedek? Well, let's talk about it today. Melchizedek was better in many ways than all of the best heroes of the faith in the Bible. Now, who was Melchizedek? Some people say, some theologians and Bible students, they say that he was Shem, one of Noah's sons. Others argue that Melchizedek was Michael, the archangel, in human form. And others say that Melchizedek was a theophany. Now, what is a theophany? A theophany is an apparition, a manifestation of God in the flesh. In this case, a manifestation of Christ or of the Holy Spirit. Now, my first reaction, and maybe you believe this way. By my first reaction when I read about Melchizedek was to equate Melchizedek with Christ as a pre-incarnate Christ. In the three texts that speak about him in the Bible, Genesis 14, you can write in your notes, Genesis 14, Psalm 110, and here in Hebrews 7, there are some strong arguments for the possible divinity of Melchizedek. Now, it is more probable, however, okay, that Melchizedek was just a human being, like you and I, a human being, that became a type, or even better, became a prototype of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, have you read the Old Testament anytime? Raise your hand, okay? Couple of you, right? If you read the Old Testament, you find there are many types of Jesus Christ. Like Adam, Abel, Seth, Enoch, Noah, Job, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses and David, Solomon and Elijah, Nehemiah, Jonah, right? He was buried, right, like Jesus, for 3 days. Isaac was sacrificed, the son. There are many types of Christ, even Jeremiah, and many others in one way or another. One of the best, if not the best, type of Christ in the whole Bible is, or was the priest king Melchizedek. Nobody else in the Bible, except Jesus Christ, was a priest and a king at the same time. But Melchizedek was. In the rest of this sermon, we shall discover why Melchizedek was a better type of Christ than anybody else. And so the rest of the sermon, we will be comparing between Melchizedek, the type, and Christ, the fulfillment. All right? And make the comparison. And also, we will see how can we, the Christians today, can become the best reflection of our Lord and Savior that we can. First of all, we see that they had similar provenance. Provenance means origin. Origin. And you know, it has to start with a P. So let's go with provenance. They came from the same origin, the same places, the same things. Number one, we see in Hebrews 7:1 that he was the undisputed ruler of Jerusalem. We see it, for example, in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem. So Melchizedek was king of Salem. What is Salem, you ask? Well, it's a word in Hebrew that means peace, shalom. It means peace. But it also was the name of Jerusalem. But it was short, an abbreviation of Jerusalem. Like, for example, there are cities in the United States, right, that, to give you an example, you have a city called Los Angeles. But what people call it all the time? L.A. So it's the same city, same place. Salem was Jerusalem. We see it, for example, in Psalm 76. It says, in Judah, or in Judea, where Jerusalem was, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem, now Salem again. This is Jerusalem, and I'll show you why. In Salem also is his tabernacle. Now, if you study the Old Testament, where was the tabernacle and the temple of God? In Jerusalem. So when you say Salem and Jerusalem, it's the same place. And then it says, in Jerusalem is his tabernacle and his dwelling place is in Zion, where Jerusalem is located, Zion. So both of them were the undisputed ruler of Jerusalem. Even when Jesus died on the cross, you remember what was the sign that they put on the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, what? King of the Jews. He was the king, the undisputed ruler of Jerusalem. Not the Romans, not Herod, not anybody else. Jesus is king. And he is the king of the universe. I love it. That's how the Jewish people pray. They say, Lord God, King of the universe. What a beautiful way to pray. King of the universe. And then both of them have a non-genealogy. We see it, for example, in verse 3, talking about Melchizedek. Without mother and without father and without genealogy. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that Melchizedek was born out of thin air? like it goes, and it came out. No. He had a mother. He had a father. He had a genealogy. But it's not recorded in the Bible. That is why the Apostle Paul, I believe the Apostle Paul is the writer of Hebrews, he said that he was without mother, without father, without genealogy, because it's not recorded. Now, if you read the Old Testament again, there's all kinds of genealogy. Sometimes too many, right? Too many genealogies. You knew who the father was for every prophet, for every king, for every priest, right? There was a genealogy, descendants. But when it came to this man, Melchizedek, he just appears out of nowhere. In Genesis 14, there's no story, there's no history about him, no genealogy, he just appears. That's why the apostle said that he was without mother and father. And the same thing is for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, they were engaged. That's what betrothed means, engaged. And it says, they, before they came together, she was found with child of who? Of the Holy Spirit. So there's no, you know, they couldn't say, Joseph was his father or whoever. He came from God. Unknown genealogy in the human way. So we can see the similarities. Undisputed ruler of Jerusalem, unknown genealogy, and then unending life. Back in verse 3, it says that he was without mother, without father, without genealogy, and having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Again, does that mean that Melchizedek never died? No. It just says that we don't see it in the Bible recorded. It doesn't say that the year that he was born, and it doesn't say when or how he passed away. It's not recorded. So the apostle compares it to Christ and saying, like Christ, he has an unending life as a type. All right? Remember, Melchizedek is the type. But in Hebrews 13:8, as you can read, it says Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He has no beginning and he has no end. As a matter of fact, he is the beginning and he is the end. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is eternal. And Melchizedek portrays that very good. Now, point D, we see that he was a unique type of Christ. Unique. Now, other people portray Christ in like a type of their sacrifice or their burial or their resurrection, many different things. But in verse 3 here, look what it says about him. Without mother, without father, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. And look what it says. But made like the Son of God. I read in the Bible about anybody that is, you know, portrayed, described in this way. That Melchizedek was made like the Son of God. He was made in the same form or type that Jesus would be one day. He possessed the characteristics of Christ in the future, that Jesus would come in the future. He was like Jesus. And by the way, in that sense, we all need to be a type of Christ. We all need to be like Jesus, not like the devil. We need to be like Jesus. We need to think like Jesus. We need to act like Jesus. We need to love like Jesus. We need to walk like Jesus. We need to forgive like Jesus. We need to do everything that we can like Jesus. So that we don't portray Him as He will come, but we reflect Him as He is in this world. Because when people look at us, they should see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
With all our imperfections. You know? But I guess, you know, when the church gets together, there's a better reflection. Because I have my imperfections and you have yours. And you have it. But when you put it together, it's like one of those, what do they call it? Crosswords. It's all a mess. But when you put it together, you can see the whole picture. And we need to be a type of Christ.
Amen.
We also see the similar providence that they had unending ministry. Unending ministry. You know, everybody that has ever served God in this world had an ending to their ministry, right? The priests, they serve. The kings, they serve. The prophets, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers. Everybody ministers for a time in their life. And you know what, church? I said it before, whatever time is left for my life, I want to live for Christ. I want to serve Christ. I want to minister in His name. I know it's imperfect. I know I have a long way to go in many things in my life. But I want to live for Christ. I want to serve my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And serve Him in whatever time He has given me. In whatever capacity. But everybody has an ending. But there's no ending in the case of Melchizedek. Look what it says in verse 3. It says that he was without father, without mother. It's not recorded. We don't know, right? Without genealogy. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life. But was made like the Son of God. And here's the part. He remains a priest continually. Now, how can he remain a priest and a minister continually in the person of Jesus Christ? In the fulfillment. You see, in verse 25, it says, talking about Christ, the fulfillment. Melchizedek is the type or the prophecy, if you want to call it. And Christ is the fulfillment, reality. Okay? And it says, therefore, he is also able, talking about Christ, to save. Jesus is able to save. If you are not saved today, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, Jesus is able to save you. He can save your soul and you can go to heaven. But you need to repent of your sins and come to Christ. And he says he's able to save to the uttermost. When he saves you, he saves you completely. And then he says, to those who come through him, to come to God through him, since he always, and this is what he does, since he always lives to make intercession for them. See, Jesus didn't just go to the cross. He just didn't go to the burial. He didn't just resurrect 3 days later. He could have said, hey, I did my job, right? I mean, I gave it all for you. Now I'm going to send angels, somebody else, you know. I'm going to the throne of glory. Sit down, relax, and that's it. No, the Bible says, my Bible, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says that he lives, his life is for my life. He lives to make what? Intercession for us, for you, and for me. I don't know if you pray all the time. I don't know if you pray every day. But you know who's always praying for you? Jesus Christ. is praying for you and for me. I don't know if you pray for me every day, but I know that Christ prays for me every single day. He makes intercession. So his ministry didn't end on the cross or in the resurrection. It's still going and going and going and going and going. And when the energizing battery bunny dies, the energizer body bunny is going to die one day. You'll see him. He's going to die. But Jesus will still remain. And he will still remain interceding for us to the Father. And you know who else intercedes for us? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We pray, and then the Holy Spirit translates our prayers to Jesus, and Jesus intercedes to the Father. What a beautiful harmony in the Trinity as they all, as God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit minister to us. And finally, over here, we see that they were either Melchizedek and Jesus. They are unconnected to Levi. Now, who's Levi? Right? We're not talking about the jeans that people wear. All right? Levi's. Bye. But Levi was one of the sons of Israel, of Jacob, one of the 12 tribes. And from Levi came all the Levites, the people that work in the church, in the temple, and the high priests, like Aaron and their sons. They came from Levi. Well, Jesus and Melchizedek are not connected at all to Levi. Look what it says. As a matter of fact, can I say to you, Melchizedek was not even Jewish. Did that blow your mind? He was not even Jewish because he met Abraham before he had Isaac and Jacob and all the tribes of Israel. He wasn't even a Hebrew, Melchizedek, because the first Hebrew was who? Abraham, because he lived in Hebron in Israel. That's why the Hebrews come from Abraham. And this man was not connected to Levi at all. But look what he says in verse 5. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi receive the priesthood. They have a commandment to receive the tithing, the offerings from the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But then he says in verse 6, but he, talking about Melchizedek and Jesus Christ as well, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received the tithe from Abraham and blessed them who had the promises. So Jesus and Abraham were not connected to Aaron, to Levi, to the law, to Moses, to none of that. It's a different type of ministry and priesthood. Number two, we see that Melchizedek is a better reflection of Jesus according to his position. His position. All right? Now, look what it says in verse 2 in our text. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness. Now, which person in the Bible have you heard or read with this title, King of Righteousness? Now, you hear about the King of Israel, King of Egypt, King of Sodom, King of Edom, King of their countries, but King of Righteousness, only Christ. Only Christ and Melchizedek are called the King of Righteousness. In Psalm 45, verse 6, look what it says. Your throne, O God, is what? Forever and ever. a scepter of what? Righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Is God the king of righteousness? Yes. Was Melchizedek the king of righteousness? Yes, a type of the God who is the king of righteousness. Even in the New Testament, in Matthew 6:33, what does he say? But seek first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you. You got to seek God. The same God that is Christ and the same God that is portrayed by Melchizedek. By Melchizedek. He was not only a king of righteousness, but going back to verse 2, he's also called the king of peace. Look what he says. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. He gave the tithing to Melchizedek. I mean, how weird is that? Right? And first being translated, King of Righteousness. That's what his name means. Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. But also, being the King of Salem, he was also the King of what? Peace. Peace, which means peace, meaning king of peace. Literally, he was the king of the city of peace, of Jerusalem. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, you know that verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child, a son is given. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. What does he say? Prince of peace. Both of them are king, rulers of peace. He was also the priest of the Most High. Of the Most High. And this is interesting. Have you ever heard in the Old Testament the different tribes that Israel fought against them? The Hittites, and there was one called the Jebusites. Remember that? The Jebusites? What a name, huh? Jebusite. Huh? When I have another son, I'm going to call him Jebusite Gonzalez. Doesn't sound good. Jebusite. It sounds like parasite, right? And he was a priest of the Most High. So he was not a Jew, like I said. He was not a Hebrew, but he was the priest of the Most High. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. So he, in Canaan, where they were from, there were all kinds of different gods, right? Moloch, there was Baal, there was Ashtoreth, all different false gods. But this man, who was not even a Jew or a Hebrew, he was a priest, the high priest of the Most High God, of the only God, the God that we serve. And the same thing we see about Jesus back in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who have passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is our high priest, as Melchizedek was the type of the priests of the Most High. And then, as we saw in verse 3 already, he was made like the Son of God. In point D, he was made like the Son of God in the sense that no other person in the Bible has ever had that distinction other than Christ. Now, we are children of God. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. And if you are, if you have repented of your sin, you are a son or a daughter, a child of God. But here it says that he was made like the Son of God. And that's very interesting to see that point. It doesn't say that he was made the Son of God. Does it say? No. It said that he was made like the Son of God, like a type similar to what Jesus will be in the future. So, therefore, this is a strong indication that he was a man, but a good type of Christ. Such a good type in point F, or point E, sorry, we see that he was greater than Abraham. Now, can you tell me in the Bible, other than Christ, who is greater than Abraham? Jesus. Yes, other than Jesus and Christ. Can you tell me who is greater than Christ? I mean, of Abraham. Nobody, right? Moses is comparable, maybe David, but greater than Abraham? He was a friend of God. He is the father of faith. All right? Greater than ever. Well, the Bible says that Melchizedek, as a type of Christ, was greater than Abraham. Look what it says in verse 4 and 7 in our text. It says, let me go back 1 second. All right, we're here. It says, now consider how great this man was. Huh? Great. To whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. You know, there was a war, okay, between some kings. There was a war between some kings. There's like a spiritual war going on right now with that phone, right? The devil, we're going to keep preaching. All right? You're going to keep preaching, devil. You can keep calling, but we're going to preach God's word in this place. And there was a war. And Abraham, he went to rescue Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about it for a second. One of the cities that Abraham, with 318 men, went to liberate was Sodom and Gomorrah. And after they come back, they meet Melchizedek. What a chance for Sodom and Gomorrah to say, thank you, God. We repent of our immorality and our sin. But no, 3-4 chapters later, God had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God will destroy this world because people do not repent of their sins. Look what happened to cities like New Orleans with all the depravity. And they came, you know, the hurricane and everybody all praying. Go back to New Orleans now, to Mardi Gras and all the garbage that they do there. And Las Vegas and everything. God gave a chance to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God gives us a chance every single day of our life. And we waste it many times. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Be grateful for the chances that God gives you. And be like Abraham. Abraham recognized something in this man, Melchizedek, and he gave a tenth. He gave a tithing to this man that represents Christ. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, even Levi, who receives the tithe, pay tithe through Abraham, so to speak. because Levi came from Abraham. So even Levi and Aaron and all the priests pay to Melchizedek, because Melchizedek, point F, is greater than Levi. It says in verse 9, even Levi paid the tithe. Greater than Levi, greater than all the high priests and the Levites and all the ministries, even greater than Moses and the law, because he represents Christ. Melchizedek represents Christ. And that's why Christians, we remember what Jesus said to the disciples? It says, your righteousness needs to be higher and better than the righteousness of the Pharisees. You see? Higher and greater. Not so that we can be, oh, look at me, I'm so perfect, I'm the elite. No. Pride has no place in the Christian life. But we need to be better than the world. We need to have a higher righteousness than all the religions in the world. Because we don't have a religion. We serve the living God. Amen. Amen. Finally, we see that Melchizedek is a better reflection because of his provision. Provision. And this is so telling. In Genesis 14. Now remember, they are coming back from the war. They're tired, right? They're hungry. They're thirsty. At the appropriate time, here comes this Melchizedek. Personally, he didn't send, you know, his people that work in his school. He came down personally, like Jesus Christ came down personally to this earth to save us. God didn't send an angel. God came himself. And in verse 18, the Bible says that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out. Now, there was so many food, different kind of food that he could have brought, right? Fish, figs, all kinds of stuff. But what did he bring? Read with me in verse 18. He brought out bread and wine. Bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High. Now next week, we will be celebrating God willing, the Lord's Supper. No, not next week. Sorry. The other week. In 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Right? The Lord's Supper. Can you tell me? I think I forgot. What are the two elements of the Lord's Supper? Anybody? Bread and what? And wine. Wow. What coincidence, right? No coincidence. You see, perfect type of Christ. He came out to Abraham, the father of faith, and he brought bread and wine. No Coke, no Pepsi Cola, no fish or nothing else, you know. No, nothing. Bread and wine, because the bread represents the body of Christ. And the wine represents the blood that he shed for us. And then we see in Psalm 23, verse 5, that Jesus has done the same thing. And he says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. You prepare a table, the Lord's table, the table of victory, the table of salvation, the table of joy and blessings. Yes. And then, speaking of blessing, we see not only the bread and the wine, but the blessing. The blessing. We see it in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, right? And what did he do? He blessed him. Who blessed who? Who blessed who? Melchizedek blessed Father Abraham. And look what it says in verse, the Bible says that the greatest blesses the lesser. We see it in Genesis 14 and in Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, God blessed Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the world. And then in Genesis 14, Melchizedek, the type of Christ, blesses Abraham. Finally, we see that there is a better priesthood. A better priesthood. Better priesthood than all the Old Testament priests. It says in verse 15, it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Who is that other priest? Who is that other priest? Jesus Christ. He's saying, we're not talking about Aaron or Moses or angels or nothing anymore. Do you remember in the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Jesus there on the mountain. He began to shine. And next to him was Moses representing the law. And on the other side, ladies and gentlemen, there was Elijah representing the prophets. And then Peter, never thinking Peter, right? Speaking before, thinking Peter. He said, let's make an auditorium here, to rejoice with Moses and Elijah. And God said from heaven, that must have been scary. Right? Hear the voice of God. I'm not even going to try. Right? But a voice from heaven said, there was a cloud and Moses and Elijah disappeared. Now it says, Jesus, this is my son. Hear him. Forget about Moses. Forget about Elijah. Forget about angels. Forget about the past. Forget about the future. Forget about even your own life. Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is what's happening here. It says there was the need for another priest that needed to come in the likeness of Melchizedek. For he who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. And then he testifies, talking about Jesus Christ, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Not Levi, not Moses, not Aaron, according to Melchizedek, the one that is recorded as a type of Christ with no beginning, no end, no death, nothing. Jesus came to fulfill Melchizedek. Now let me finish in the conclusion by saying that in the apocryphal second book of Enoch. Now what is that, Brother Alex? Apocryphal. Apocryphal are those books that didn't make it to the Bible. They have 7 or 9 apocryphal books. Means that they are not the real thing. Like the 66 books that we have in the Bible. Are they good reading? Yeah. If you like science fiction, fantasy, they're good reading. But they are not the inspired word of God. It's all fantasy. They go beyond miracles. It's fantasy. Look what it says in the book of Enoch. By the way, Enoch was a great man. But the second book of Enoch is, sorry, Enoch. So they say that Melchizedek was born and the mother's name was Sopamina. What a name, Sopamina. She was a virgin, wow, like Christ, right? But when he came out, when he was born, he developed immediately. So he was born and immediately he grew into a man. Okay? And then was taken to the Garden of Eden by the angel Gabriel to escape the flood. Does that sound like a real Bible to you? Right? Now the Bible tells us that Melchizedek was the first Cohen, like Michael Cohen, the one in New York in the trial. Cohen is the Hebrew word for priest. He was the first priest. The word Cohen means priest of the Most High God. That he was also a king. That he was a type and reflection of Jesus Christ. And the only one that is priest and king, Jesus Christ. So let's talk about us for a couple minutes and I'm done. We are also called to be a reflection of Christ in this world. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." But we're not the real light. In John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." We are like the moon. We reflect this light. In 1 Peter 2:9, we are also called priests and kings. Did you hear that? Like Melchizedek. We are called priests and kings. We. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people." We are kings because we rule Christ. And we are priests because we minister with Christ. Melchizedek was a type and a reflection of Christ in the Old Testament. Right? And we are his reflection now. See, we are the Melchizedeks of today. Right? He was pointing to the Messiah that was to come. And we are waiting for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even more interesting, Melchizedek had no human genealogy, right? Did you know that's the same thing for you and for me? In John 1:12-13, it says that now we are born again of God, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh. Now we have a different genealogy. We belong to the family of God. We're citizens of heaven. Think about that. Huh? Melchizedek had no end of life. And what do we have in Christ? Eternal life. Huh? Think about that. Melchizedek was righteous, and so are we. Melchizedek was the king of peace, and we have the peace that passes beyond understanding. Melchizedek was such a great reflection of Christ that many have believed that he was a Christophany, a pre-incarnate Christ in the flesh. And maybe you still want to believe that, that's fine. You know, it's 50-50 for me right now. Either he was pre-incarnate Christ, or he was the best man for as a type of Christ in the Old Testament. But for us, let us live in such a way that we give glory to God. And when people look at us, they don't see us. They see Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this time. I want to thank you for all your blessings. Yeah. I want to thank you for the life of Melchizedek, yeah, and the example that he represents to us. Yeah. And we thank you for this church and for all the visitors, yeah, and for the great time we have in your presence. Yeah. In your name we pray. Amen.